Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 8th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. USDA this morning released its latest ending stocks estimate. The corn figure did not change from January, but beans and wheat were down. We'll take you through all the numbers over the next 20 minutes. And we'll hear from University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. Two notes up front on that interview. First, you'll hear Daryl say he does not think a collapse in the commodity markets is coming anytime soon. And secondly, he lays out a crop insurance, cash sales, and put option strategy to protect 2008 income. Stay with us because it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Agricultural Programming is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $10.93, 30 cents higher up the limit. The May contract up the limit at 11.09¾, and July in Chicago at 9.83½, up 30 for the day. Kansas City wheat at 11.40¼ up the limit, and July futures there at 10.90½ were up 30. Minneapolis Grain Exchange wheat, of course, up the limit for the day as well. March corn futures at 5.08, a settlement price 8½ higher. The May contract at 5.21, up 8¾. July 5.31½, up 8¼, and December contract $5.30, up 7½ cents for the day. March soybean futures 7½ higher at $13.39. The May contract at $13.58½, up 8. And July futures at $13.68, 5¾ higher. November beans $12.85, up 4. March bean meal futures down 20 at $3.61.50. The May futures at $3.66.60 for the day. March bean oil at $55.42, up 30. The May contract at $56.02, 18 higher. February live cattle down 47½ cents at $92.20. The April's at $95.10, down 95. And the March feeder cattle at $105.25, down 82½ cents. The April futures 77½ lower at $109.45. February lean hogs $58.75, down 47½. April futures gained 17½ cents at $68.87½. Crude oil futures on the outside markets now trading $91.80, up $3.69. The U.S. dollar at 76.64, that's down 0.21 for the afternoon. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 100 points lower at 12,147 on the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Friday afternoon to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and with the USDA reports is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Mike, are you all buckled in and ready to go for the day?
Boy, we think we are in the morning, but we sure realize we're not, Todd, by the afternoon.
Oh, I bet you. I know you brokers are just working your tails off all week long. Wednesday was an exciting day. Last night, it was almost as exciting last night, I think, as it was on Wednesday when you turned things around and you jumped up 30 cents in the soybeans.
Yeah, and you know that the excitement continued today with the cash wheat prices continuing their sharp ascent, and the exchange and the CFTC allows the exchanges to do it are going to try and put the brakes on this runaway train and wheat if they can. I think that's going to be a big if because the cash wheat market is really directing this, and I think it's funny because when we got the USDA report today, the very first paragraph, the World Agricultural Outlook sheet overview said that the stocks to use in the United States at 12% is going to be the lowest since 1946. So we're looking at something going all the way back to World War II, and I think it really rings a large and loud bell that people that believe that funds don't have their act together and are just managing money to manage money and going after prices, and just buying and selling for the heck of it, we really just don't participate in that because they really are savvy people. They have a tremendously good analysis, and they're able to really put money down, it seems, in areas that it's going to promote, you know, a profit, and it's based upon fundamentals, you know, regular supply and demand fundamentals and outside market fundamentals. And I think that's, again, today we see this with the wheat market, but the wheat continues to lead us and continues to charge higher. Next week is going to be even harder to deal with than this week because the Chicago Board of Trade came out and said they were going to raise margins for initial specs. It's going to go from 2025 to 3,038 a contract, a jump of 50%. Hedge initial margins are going to go from $1,500 to $2,250, again, a jump of 50%. If you take that hedge margin and divide that into 5,000 bushels, you're looking at 45 cents a bushel for initial hedge margin. So we can assume that if the exchanges, both Minneapolis and Chicago and Kansas City, all three of those get the okay by the CFTC, we're probably going to see expanded limits around 45 cents a bushel, maybe more. And we got late word that we knew going into the open Minneapolis was going to try and get no limits on the March contract after February 24th, February 25th. It's my understanding the Board of Trade is going to do that and try and get that done as well.
On their lead option March
contract. Right? Yep, exactly right.
And a 45-cent limit on wheat.
Exactly right. That's what you would assume looking at the margins because we $1,500 is right at 30 cents, which is our current limit in Chicago and Minneapolis.
And will they expand limits on others as well? Probably.
I don't know if they can or not right now, Todd, because of all the options out there. The options and the spreads are trading in synthetic prices that would indicate they're going to probably need to do that if this initial shock to raising costs for both longs and shorts doesn't kind of calm this market down a little bit next week. But I think the goal and the tone is pretty clear in the exchanges. We need to calm this down, and I think going to the CFTC is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, they go to the CFT. They want to calm it down simply because there's a lot of money that has to trade hands, and some people are really bleeding, I suppose. And they need to get it calmed down, but it's on the cash side that we're so short of spring wheat.
No, and I think that it's feeding each other at this point. I think the tail's wagging the dog right now. I think the cash market and the offers just keep jumping, and they keep going over the Chicago market because of the synthetic price in Chicago. So I do think that if the futures market would calm down a little bit, the cash market would be directed to calm down as well. But that, like I said, it's a big if.
And these don't usually end very pretty, I suppose.
No, they don't. And that's what's really nerve-wracking about this wheat market right now is I don't like the ascent that we have going on right now, and we really don't like the outside markets. You know, that's where, again, I would say the investors and the decisions made by these fund investors really are dependent upon whether the U.S. slows down. I think the question has been answered in the markets that can a U.S. Slowdown be offset by emerging markets? And I think the financial markets are realizing and recognizing, because the Bank of England cut their rates this week, that no, if Europe and Japan slow down, emerging markets aren't going to be able to offset a U.S., European, and Japanese slowdown. And there's a lot of economists now saying that the U.S. is in recession, and it's already started. When you look at unemployment, you look at retail sales being the worst in 5 years, you look at the consumer debt hitting ceilings, and you look at the developing countries pushing back on really high food and energy costs, and you hear that in Washington more and more, it starts to cause a little bit of concern on our side, especially when it comes to the investor money. So I think our mindset and the analysis that we want to really have a good marketing plan laid out between now and when we jump in the tractor cab and plant is absolutely paramount to have done at this point because there's just too much riding on it, and the table's getting more full and more full with uncertainties.
What is your marketing plan? We'll hear one from Daryl Good later.
I think we're going to work towards the wheat first. I think we're this next move higher, I think we're in an exhaustive phase at this point. We want to say we're probably within the last 20% of price upside, that by the time the March expiration in Chicago occurs, or if we get to 1290, which is a swing objective on the weekly wheat chart in Chicago, monthly chart, if we can get that, one of those two hit, I think we're going to be at 100% on 08 wheat and working in the 25% level in the 09, maybe pushing even higher than 25%. At the same time, we're going to be working towards buying corn puts in the December and making cash sales for new crop beans and backing those up with November bean call and call verticals. And we're going to work very hard between now and the middle end of March to be 100% hedged in the 08 corn and beans as well.
And one final question with just maybe a minute and a half left or so. What do you see the possibility for having harvest delays in South America pushing prices in Chicago at the beans much higher?
I think they're very high right now. I think between the reduction in the Argentine corn crop and the weather problems that we have seen in the bean crop in Brazil and even somewhat in Argentina, you've got a very high likelihood of at least keeping a very good risk premium in the bean futures market. But I think it goes back to how much have they already built into this, and if we do see the outside markets top and the wheat start to top, can they fight that off? But I doubt it. I think the investor money will start to be pulled out.
We appreciate you being with us for the afternoon.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend, sir.
You sleep well over the weekend.
All right.
That's Mike Zuzlow. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here each and every Friday afternoon to take a look at the agriculture futures market. Here's what it looks like for the weather forecast. Scott Althoff says tonight, across the two-state region in the north and central sections, it'll be cloudy, some occasional light snow and a few flurries in the south, mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 20 in the north to 32 in the south. Tomorrow in the north, cloudy, very windy, and turning much colder late in the day with a few flurries. Elsewhere, cloudy, very windy, and turning colder late. Highs tomorrow, says Scott, ranging from 31 in the north to 53 in the south. You're listening to WILL Urbana. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Don't forget to visit our website at WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Darrell Good, ag economist from the U of I. He'll take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. The WASDE reports released Friday morning. And tell us just a little bit about some seminars, won't you, Darrell, that you've got coming up this month, along with Gary Schnittke and Scott Irwin.
Well, we have a series of five seminars that we're titling Managing 2008 Gross Revenues and Risks. It's basically a two-hour seminar, Todd, that we're going to take a look at kind of yield risk for Illinois producers, crop insurance decisions, and then a look at some marketing strategies that might go along with whatever crop insurance decision a producer makes. So we think crop insurance decision is extremely important this year. So this is a two-hour seminar that we will be looking at those issues starting on February 8th in Macomb, the 20th in Onarga, the 26th in Mount Vernon, 27th in Rock Falls, and the 28th in Decatur. And folks can probably find a registration form at their local extension office or just give us a call here at the university, 217-333-5506, a $10 registration fee, and we'll get people hooked up.
Hey, $10 beans, $12 beans, $13 beans, and a $10 registration fee.
Right.
It only costs a bushel of beans to come. That's a good deal, isn't it?
That's a real bargain, no question about it.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. This week has just been incredible. There have been rumors on the floor. We had the WASDE numbers. We can get to those in just a bit. But it's been an enormous week at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, too, where spring wheat's just, it's trading at $20 or $22 or something up on the, well, it's not actually trading that, but synthetically it's gotten that high.
Yeah, it's just gone crazy, really. I mean, we've had nearby futures well over $15 on limit up days back-to-back there. And with the, looking at, as you say, the synthetics based on the options, there's a lot of buying orders behind this yet. So that's certainly the big news this week is just the explosion in spring wheat that spilled over into Chicago and Kansas City. Most of that strength is in the old crop nearby contracts as the market struggles with pretty tight inventories. New crop prices are well below old crop prices, but still probably spring wheat prices are high enough to generate some increase in acreage if these prices are maintained into the spring of the year.
And as we record this on a Friday morning, Wednesday was the big day for the week, really, which looked like spike highs to some people potentially in the marketplace. But the overnight trade on Thursday evening to Friday morning pushed corn and beans and wheat. I think beans were up the limit overnight on Friday night.
Yeah, as you say, on Wednesday we had a big strong day up nearby, soybeans up 50 cents and then closed lower, corn up 10, 12 cents, closed lower. In the old days, that would have been a pretty strong technical signal of at least a near-term high and maybe some follow-through weakness. But, you know, that lasted for a few hours, basically, and then we're back into stronger markets. So I think, is a testimony to the underlying strength in the fundamentals in these markets. We keep monitoring our pace of consumption to the degree that data is available, looking for signs that somebody is cutting back their rate of use, and we just don't see that at this point. Weekly export numbers right across the board remain strong. The monthly crush numbers on soybeans remain strong. And we think there may be some modest liquidation of hog numbers beginning, but for the time being, domestic feed demand looks to be very strong as well. So right across the board, you know, we kind of look for those red flags that consumers are beginning to back off, end users, but no signs at this point.
World agricultural supply demand estimates released Friday morning by USDA, they didn't appear to hold any real surprises in those numbers.
No major surprises. I mean, USDA increased their projection of both wheat and soybean exports for this year and also increased by 5 million bushels of projected crush of soybeans. I think those are all in line with our current pace, and so that brings our ending stocks of soybeans down to a very tight 160 million bushels. You know, wheat down under 240 million, very, very tight. If there was a surprise, I guess it was in my mind that USDA did not raise its forecast of corn exports for the current year. I think a case could be made based on our current level of sales that we are on pace to exceed the projection, and we're more than 5 months into the marketing year with big shipments and big sales on the books. If those sales actually are followed through with actual shipments, I think we may need to see that number raised as well. So beginning to see some real tightness in domestic inventories.
You want to take a stab at how high it might go, or shall we just talk about protecting income and what producers ought to do?
Well, I think if we're going to we're really probably going to be into the growing season before we can really talk about the highs being in this market. I think we've got to see the acres, and then we've got to see the crop get off to a good start, and then we've got to avoid significant problems during the growing season. So personally, I don't see a collapse in these markets coming. If we do see weakness, it's going to be as we confirm that we've got a pretty big crops coming on, but we're several months away from that happening. So it appears right now that we are going to have very, very high insurance prices for the month of February. I mean, we're just got 1 week of data, basically, but, you know, 1280 soybeans, 5.25 corn prices. So I think the most important decision is the revenue insurance. Get that product in place. And I kind of feel like that gives you a highly subsidized put option on your revenue for the year ahead. And then think about what risk exposure do I still have that is not covered by insurance. Depending on the product that you choose, there will be some bushels not covered, depending on your level of coverage that you choose. What should you do with those bushels if you haven't already sold some 2008 crop? You may have 10, 15, 20% of the crop that you may want to consider just going ahead and selling at these extremely high prices and take care of the risk on those bushels. The other risk you have, it seems remote at this point, is that on some of the revenue products, the CRC and then the GRIP, there is a maximum price movement from the spring level that is covered by insurance. Anything more than a dollar and a half move from the spring price to the fall price is not then covered by insurance. Do you want to consider taking care of that risk? I mean, is there some risk if we have a $5 spring price on corn? Is there a risk prices could go below 3.5 by harvest time? At this juncture, it doesn't seem likely, but there is some probability, and one might consider, say, buying some 350 put options for 5 or 6 cents.
And those ought to be cheap. That's what I was thinking. Cover it below that.
Right. And so then you're kind of covered. You say, I've got my uninsured bushel sold. I've got my uninsured price decline covered. And my insurance covers everything else. And now I just kind of relax, see what the spring and summer brings. If we move into higher price levels, then I've got to decide, yeah, I start selling some crop because I'm now moving above my guaranteed level. But I think that gives us a real luxury this year, if you will. Can manage risk pretty completely and pretty much guarantee those high revenues that are implied by current prices. So I think we just buckle up and see what the growing season brings here.
You do the same thing with soybeans, or is it a different story?
Similar story, I think, on soybeans. The revenue products, guarantee a pretty high price on some level, 65, 75, up to 90% of your expected production. Selling the uninsured bushels at $12.50 may not be a bad idea. And then you're going to find that options are a little more expensive on soybeans. So that if you say, we have a $3 movement that we can look at on soybeans. Anything more than $3 up or down from the spring price is not covered by some revenue products. So if we're at $12.75, so anything under $9.75, what risk is there of that? If you feel that there is some risk, then buying some $9.50 puts or something to that effect might be okay on those bushels. The other end of it, of course, is what if we move $3 above spring highs? It's hard to imagine that those would hold into the fall of the year, but it could happen. You say, well, I have some risk if we move more than $3 higher. I'm not going to be guaranteed that price in my insurance. Should I buy call options at $3 out of the money? Those are very expensive. You look at $6 December corn calls now at 40 cents a bushel. So that what the market is saying with those kind of premiums is that they view that there is substantially more upside risk to prices than downside at this point. You can buy out-of-the-money puts pretty cheaply, but you can't. Out-of-the-money calls are pretty expensive. So the market is showing that kind of at this point.
Good news is that the farmers have the upside covered as long as they haven't made the sales
right
to begin with.
Right, that's right. It just will affect your insurance payment, but as long as you haven't sold it yet, you still get the higher market price. Right.
All right. Thanks much, Daryl, for joining us today, and we look forward to talking to you more. And what's been, boy, it's been an interesting 2 or 3 years, and it just looks like it's going to get more fun over time.
It really does. I think this is quite a ride we're going to be in for.
All right. Thanks much. Daryl Good is an Extension Ag Economist at the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. It may take $800,000 to clean the mold from thousands of priceless books inside the University of Illinois' Rare Book and Manuscript Library. The mold cleanup will also mean closure for that portion of the library from February 25th through early May. The Associate Librarian for Collections, Tom Tepper, says books suffered after the building went through a spike of excessive humidity sometime last fall. A binding referendum for assistance for the poor could be coming this fall to City of Champaign Township, after voters approved a non-binding referendum this past week. Township Supervisor Linda Abernathy says the vote shows that things have changed since 2006 when a tax referendum failed. She's working on a proposal to bring to the next Township Board meeting in March. Illinois' request for federal help for flooding in the towns of Watseka and Pontiac has been turned down, but there are differing opinions as to why that happened. A spokesman for Congressman Tim Johnson of Urbana says the state underreported the damage and the damage assessments will be resubmitted. A spokeswoman for the state's Emergency Management Agency says there was no underreporting, but they're asking that homes be rechecked. The Indianapolis International Airport's new billion-dollar terminal will open October 28th. Officials say that'll give them time to make adjustments ahead of the busy Thanksgiving travel period. The airport board has also voted unanimously to make former Eli Lilly CEO Randall Tobias its new president. He was appointed to the board by Republican Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard. Tobias resigned from a State Department job last year after he was linked to a call girl ring. The 8-member airport board is evenly split between Republicans and Democrats. A man who was acquitted of terrorism charges but is facing deportation anyway denies that he ever posed a security threat to the U.S. Ligland's son Lemoran spoke to reporters by phone today from an immigration detention center in Georgia. He says he's being treated unfairly by federal officials who want to send him back to his native Haiti. The immigration charges are virtually identical to the terrorism offenses that a Florida jury rejected back in December. 6 other members of the so-called Liberty City 7 are being tried in Miami for a second time on charges of plotting to blow up Sears Tower and bomb FBI offices. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey, located right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, snow, rain, sleet, you name it, tornadoes, we had it.
We've had just about every phenomena you could possibly think of, almost, in the past week or so here in Illinois and much of the Midwest. Looks like we're probably in for a relative period of calm here the next several days, to maybe next week. Looks like we could get into some more precipitation early next week, but nothing like what we had to deal with early this week.
And who was hardest hit? Was it to the north?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about hardest hit with.
I suppose we
snowfall was definitely heavy north. They had up to almost 2 feet of snow in parts of southern Wisconsin from the storm that hit earlier this week. Much of the Midwest, from Illinois on through Indiana into Ohio, had very heavy rain. And many areas right now are looking at already having twice their normal February precipitation, and that caused extensive flooding. And there's many rivers and streams from here to Ohio are at flood right now. Then further south, of course, we had the thunderstorms and tornadoes, and a very significant tornado outbreak this week. So, but here in Illinois, it's really the rain in the central and southern portions of the state and the snow in the north.
And what can we look forward next week then?
Well, we're going to have a pretty good shot of cold air coming in here tomorrow. It looks like an Arctic cold front will come here through most of Illinois by late afternoon tomorrow and then through Indiana during the early evening hours. And that will bring us a day or two of pretty cold weather, with Sunday being the coldest day and temperatures probably staying in the teens. It'll be a little breezy, too. It looks like the winds might not be quite as bad as earlier thought, but still 15 degrees in any kind of wind. It's rather cold out there. And then we'll start to see some moderation. And as warm air comes back early next week, we could get into some snow or perhaps even some freezing rain Monday or Tuesday time frame, and then maybe a little bit lighter precip later in the week. But nothing like what we've had to deal with.
Anything else around the planet or in the nation that we ought to be keeping an eye on?
No, it's just been a very active winter everywhere, just about. And we'll just hopefully things will calm down when it comes close to spring planting.
We appreciate you being with us.
Okay, Todd.
Thanks much. That's Steve Hilberg. He is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here at the WILL radio stations. You can hear him each and every Friday. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. for Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture and commodity markets, and this week it should be an awfully good one. And that you can listen to that program and most of the agricultural programming that you hear on this radio station right there on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Be sure to visit that over the weekend. We'll post Commodity Week by about 6 o'clock this evening. You have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, providing independent commodity and financial analysis to clients throughout the United States. Risk Management Commodities Incorporated has offices located in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. More information is available at 866-837-9027.